broken it and given thanks, he said to them, notice these words, and I want you to look at these two underlined phrases and think about which is the most important words in those phrases. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup that is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. Broken it. There's a lot of important words. Broken it. Broken it. Broken it. Broken it. Broken it. They are. Pardon? Do this in remembrance of me. Some people might say it's the blood or the body. I would like to suggest to you that perhaps the most important words in these two phrases are two very, very, very common words. That without these two very, very common words, those sentences lose their meaning. What are those words? For you. For you. Without these two simple common words, the death of Christ is just another death. Without these two common words, the sentences and phrases lose their impact. Let me give you an example. If I were to tell you, and this is a parable, just want you to know that, I worked hard day and night, year upon year, and finally I made enough money so that I can give $1 million away. Might be interesting. But if I said I worked hard night and day for many, many years so I could finally give $1 million away to you, does that change your perspective at all? Jesus said, this is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you. I did it for you. Those words tell us the value he places on us, don't they? Which would you rather receive on your birthday, Dr. Barker, or at Christmas time? A gift card that you can go out and buy what you want, or a homemade gift worth less in value, but that was made by the hands of someone who knew you well enough to know what you would like and who made that thing with you in mind? For you. Andrew Murray, famous preacher and writer, made this comment about these two words. He says, the richest blessing of the Lord's Supper is wrapped up in these words, for you. The richest blessing. Think about that word for. In Greek, it's the word huper. It can mean several things. It can mean above or over. Well, that doesn't make sense here. My body given above you. It can mean in defense of you, and there's a certain amount of truth in that, but it doesn't really fit completely. This is my body given in reference to you. It doesn't really fit either. It could mean this is my body given on account of you, which means we're the bad guy and that's the reason, and there's a little bit of truth in that. But perhaps the word that the meaning that fits the most is this is my body, my blood given in place of you, instead of your body, instead of your blood. It's the idea that Jesus died in our place. Without these words, Jesus is another criminal who died for his misdeeds. Or if he's someone who died unjustly, he died because of blind justice, or even worse, because of false accusations. But it was neither of those. It was in our place. Right? When you think about for you, who was there? His disciples, all 12. The group of disciples, there are three disciples that were closest to Jesus, James and John, the two brothers, and Simon Peter. Then there's about three more that we know a little bit more about. And then there's six that we know very little about. When Jesus says, this is my body for you, he included all. He included James and John, the power brokers. The guys who wanted to make sure that they could sit at the right hand and left. The guys who were always stirring things up among the disciples to say, we're closer to Jesus than you are. We deserve more than you deserve. He was talking about James and John, the sons of thunder, who saw somebody performing miracles in Christ's name, and he says, Jesus, send down fire from heaven and destroy them because they don't belong to us. They're not good enough like we are. Jesus said, I died, James and John, for you. Because of them being power brokers and people who were more concerned about themselves than they were about others. When Jesus said, for you, he included Simon Peter. Simon Peter was the disciples' answer man. Any situation, Simon had an answer for it. He didn't need to learn from anybody. They could learn from him. His impulsive nature got him in trouble over and over again. He even tried to tell Jesus, Jesus, don't talk to me about your death. You don't need to die, Jesus. Just become the earthly Messiah so we can get on with our work. When Jesus said, for you, he included Andrew, who worked behind the scenes all the time and was always introducing people to Jesus. His brother Peter, the little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, some Greeks. Then, of course, there was Judas, the betrayer. And yes, Jesus even said to Judas, the betrayer, this is for you. There was Thomas, the doubter, and I think Thomas gets a bit of a bad rap sometimes, because Thomas was one of the ones who said, when Jesus said he was going up to Jerusalem to heal Lazarus, he said, well, we might as well go and die with him. Many of the disciples doubted too. Then one that we know only a couple things about, Bartholomew, or some refer to him as Nathanael in places. The thing about him is that Jesus said that when he saw him under a tree, he knew that he was going to be a disciple. And the moment Nathanael heard about that, he said, my Lord and my God. But the rest of them, James the Less, Matthew, Philip, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, we know nothing about them from God's word. Nothing. And Jesus said, this is my body and my blood for you. As you look at this list of disciples, for those of us who've been kind of like James and John, power brokers, trying to make sure that we come to the forefront and that people see how good we are, Jesus said he'd die for us. Isn't that good news this morning? For those of us who are like Peter, who are impulsive and who have all the right answers and want to make sure that people know we have the right answers and therefore we should be honored above all the others, isn't it good news to know that even though we may not be right in what we think or what we say, Jesus still said, my body and my blood is for you. Isn't it good news that for those who try to serve him and who serve in the background and aren't out in the front forefront, are always doing some of the little things behind the scenes, isn't it good news that those who serve behind the scenes, Jesus says, this is my body and blood for you? Isn't it good news even for those who deny him and betray him? Jesus still works to the very last moment to do everything possible to save them, and he tells them, my body and my blood are for you. And isn't it good news that when we have times of doubt, Jesus still died for us? And maybe the one we need to hear the most is that for the many on scene, the many who aren't leaders, the many who no one knows about, the many who are followers of Jesus and no one can put their finger on and say this is how they serve Jesus. Jesus says to them, this is my body and my blood for you. For you. This morning, as we take part in the communion service, I want you to do it with the awareness that when Jesus instituted this service, he had you in mind. You. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how you've messed up. Doesn't matter mistakes you've made. Doesn't matter if anybody knows whether you made mistakes or not. This service was given with you and mind. And you get to take part in it because Jesus gave it willingly and gladly out of his great love for you. I'm going to ask Greg and Kelly to join me. We're going to have the prayer for the bread and the wine. And we're going to ask the entire congregation to kneel together, those who can, as we kneel around the Lord's table.
Father God, we have come together for this very holy and personal service, one that unites all believers in you. Today we commemorate. We follow the commission of Jesus who told the disciples so long ago to continue this act of breaking the bread, symbolizing his body, which was broken for us. For us. We remember that upper room where Jesus broke the bread with his own hands, knowing that he would soon be sacrificing his own life. He had known this time was coming, and he was thankful. It was a time that he was looking forward to having with his disciples so he could share with them this symbolism of hope, of salvation, their salvation, and our salvation through his death. We know that this act of breaking the bread was not to stop there, but to live on for all time till the return of Jesus. It's a reminder that this mission of sharing the gospel message is ongoing and necessary. Father God, we believe. We believe that you, through your Son Jesus Christ, died so that we may live. Because of your grace and mercy and love, we are here today, assured that the final destiny of Jesus, who was crucified and raised, is our destiny. For that we are thankful. We thank you for this blessed hope. We thank you for the blessed hope that we now receive.
Father, we come with joy in our hearts today, not because we are worthy on our own, but because you are worthy and your sacrifice has made it possible for us to live forever with you. And that the blood that you spilled 2,000 years ago was effective at giving us life, eternal life, in a perfect world with you. And that there is a communion that you are waiting for to share with each one of us. And Father, we long for that day. We see it approaching. We see it so very close. Keep us faithful, Lord. May, as we partake of this, we be renewed and restored and refreshed for the journey ahead. Give us a light in our hearts, a joy in our step, and a testimony of your incredible love and mercy and salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We are doing this an alternate way just so we don't get caught up in the rut and routine. We're going to ask that you will be ushered out from the back, and the ushers will tell you which side to come down and which side to go out, to go back to your seats. If you are not able to come forward, there will be deacons who will serve you. The reason we do this is a way of physically coming forward and recommitment of your lives to Jesus Christ. So please follow the directions as they are given.